Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Alvaro Peralta, Don Oblasny, and Jonathan Gave. I want to ask the question, how do you tell if someone is not trustworthy? Jonathan, can you kick us off?
Sure. I had an interesting conversation with an IRS agent once. His job was to find people who had evaded tens of millions of dollars of tax. So I said to him, wow, you must have a really good sense of whether someone is honest or trustworthy or not. And he honestly said, no, I think I'm only about average. If someone can defraud people of $20 million, they can probably deceive me. So he said that in his life, he focused on only things that he could verify. So he tried to take trust out of the equation. Thought that was an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm. I really love that, Jonathan. I would agree that if you can trust the process to be able to measure results, you'll probably have a better chance of having a higher batting average. You'll get better results over time. So many things can impact our judgment. I might trust you if I've just had a meal, but if I'm really hungry, I may not do so. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that impact our decision-making. And so having the system in place to keep apples to apples and consistency in end results, I think is really essential in order to, within a culture, within a business culture, create that sense of trust and being able to root out when that trust is being broken.
I think for me, it depends upon how much the risk of trusting someone is. If the risk is small, then I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and just trust you and see what happens. And you can prove yourself trustworthy or not. If the risk is big, like am I handing over my entire life savings to you to invest, then that's going to take a much more detailed time and effort of saying, okay, how do I trust this person? So I think, how do I tell if someone's untrustworthy? Well, the first thing is, do they do something? Do they lie to me? You know, do they do something untrustworthy?
I like everything that you all said, and what Alvaro said about the trusting the process is something that's a new idea to me. I like that idea instead of looking for clues or cues, because I had a friend get me a book years ago. They said, you're so naive, Don. I need to give you this book. It's written by someone who was in the CIA, to Jonathan's point, on how to read people. And I thought, I don't need this. But then I started reading chapter one, and I realized I never even heard of any of these things before. So, you know, at the end of the day, there are some clues that people give. I think one of them was, if they can't empathize, if you tell them a story, a personal story, and they don't seem moved by it, maybe they're not totally engaged, but maybe they're not worthy of that trust, of that relationship with you. So because there are some documented stories out there of how to trust people or how to figure out if someone's trustworthy, I think it's good to invest, especially if you're in a situation where you have to vet people. Now, if you're, as Alvaro has said, you can trust the process, but if you're interviewing a lot of people for a position and you're supposed to pick out who's the most trustworthy person to pick, then maybe it'd be good to hone those skills before you start that process.
I was gonna say, I also look for consistency. I find it hard to believe that someone will act trustworthy in one situation and not trustworthy in another. I associate trust with an item of character. If they'll cheat the waiter or waitress in the restaurant, will they cheat me in a business deal? I tend to think that sooner or later, action and character is revealed.
Scientifically, it's been proven that the human judgment is not all that great.
Flawed.
That's true.
And so how we do anything is how we do everything is one of the things that we use in order to make an assessment really quickly. And the trouble with an assessment is an assessment requires an assumption. Mm-hmm. And an assumption needs to be tested in order to have any validity. So I hope that appeals to the engineering side of things. It's if you can't test it, if you can't measure it, then you probably don't want to have it as a business practice. And that becomes it becomes a thing of going back and saying, is there a way for us to have process in place? And I totally agree with Dr. Robin, depending on the level of trust that's necessary is a deciding factor. And that could be part of that process. How much, you know, what is at risk here? And that could help you decide whether or not you need to trust the individual you're speaking with.
And how much time do you spend consciously thinking about that? I mean, we make these judgments about people every day, whether, you know, like when I'm walking down the sidewalk, do I decide, do I trust that that person is not going to step in front of me and smack into me? Most of the time, I mean, as a woman, I'm more likely to give way than a man is. So that's an interesting dichotomy in the trust space. Like, I trust that you're not going to walk into me, but if it looks like you will, I'm probably going to move before you do if you're a man coming toward me.
Oh, and absolutely. So
how much time do you spend thinking about all of that just in your day-to-day life?
I confess, not much. I'll be honest with you. I have some of these rules. I don't sit and think, oh, is this person trustworthy? Is that person trustworthy? No. No, only when I'm, I tend to, something about a situation would have to call my attention for my like active brain to start thinking about trust. Maybe I should think about it more.
That's really interesting. Neuroscientifically, I would look at that and say, well, seeing as the amygdala, your reptilian brain, is the fastest part of your processing, you're not even aware of your judgment. It's there.
Oh, that's true.
You're not even aware. It happens so fast. So, for example, if I go like this, I'm exposing my neck. That's a sign of trust. It's like a dog going on its back and showing its belly. You're exposing, right? In martial arts, when we bow, we show the crown of the head. It's a sign of respect and of trust. What we don't see in the bow is that the eyes are looking upwards just in case there is a sword coming. So this whole thing of trust is it's an animal instinct. It's there for survival. We need to be able to see those red flags that we're talking about. How do you tell if somebody is not trustworthy? Your gut instincts, your neural instincts are going to be much faster than your wake thinking brain that we start using once we start making assumptions.
I like your process recommendation earlier, because what you just said about trusting your instinct reminds me of a situation where we were interviewing candidates for a position once. One person was so much more likable than everyone else. He just seemed like he had been so well practiced. And sure enough, we hired him and he turned out not to be what he presented himself to be, which was part of that book that I was mentioning earlier, that if someone seems overly ingratiating, overly sweet, there might be something behind that. And if they're over the top, there's a chance that that might be a red flag. And so I like your idea of trusting a process more than trusting our gut instinct, because my gut, everyone's gut instinct was, hire this person. They're so sweet. They're so nice.
Yeah, that's, and they use this all the time. You know, that if you walk into a room and it smells of chocolate cookies that just came out of the oven, your level of trust in that situation all around with people you talk to, with your environment is up. And if it smells like rotten eggs, the smell of gas that they put in there, they put that smell in there on purpose, because you should not trust the environment you're in. So much can influence our ability if we rely on process. And I'm referring to business. We can't use this all day long. Your child says, can I go to the park? You know, you can't say, well, let me get out my process sheet. And I think that, you know, we have to rely on our instincts within a business setting, particularly in an interview setting, is a great example. How do you take, you know, when we talk about diversity and inclusion these days is a big topic. In order to provide diversity and inclusion, you have to have a process. And that process is what you need to trust. Otherwise, you're just going to go back and hire the way you've always hired.
Go back to your default setting. Mm-hmm, absolutely. So really quickly, I want to touch on one more subject. If someone does breach your trust, do you feel like you need to say to them, you're out, or do you just set them out?
I was recently in a situation like this, and I'm in Don's camp of it depends. I had the concern that if I would confront the person too severely, then they could harm me in various ways. So I said, okay, I'm just going to let this go, but I'm going to leave that situation, and I'm not going to be in that person's company in the future. But my better angel told me, no, Jonathan, you should explain in more detail. But the survival Jonathan won out in that case.
I have an email like that that I need to write probably today, where someone did something that I'm going to have to say, I'm sorry, but this isn't going to work for me. So thank you for being part of this conversation with me. That is our 10 minutes. I look forward to having another conversation with you again very soon.